All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Corey Anderson and Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. An hour from now, we'll talk with Todd Lebo. Get some fact or fiction with Todd Lebo as well. Thank you to Adam Teicher from ESPN, our Chiefs insider. They take care of the Steelers Sunday night. They get ready for the Bills Sunday night on CBS, rematch of the loss earlier in the season. We're talking with Braden Gall now from 440 Podcast Network, Athlon Sports, ESPN Radio, cover two podcast, Fringe Element Podcast. And he also covers the Tennessee Titans as well, joining us here in the zone. Braden, how are you, sir?
Oh, doing well, man. We get one heck of a weekend of football. I know where you guys are, people are excited. I know where I'm at, people are excited. It's after a lackluster first weekend, but I think we're in for a pretty dramatic and pretty big time weekend of football.
I felt for a long time, and I think it'll stay the same this year as well, that I think the divisional round weekend in the NFL is the best weekend of football, because you've got eight teams that are more than likely worthy of being there, and you've got four games that are matched up against obviously two teams that are going to win the Super Bowl. And you're going to have AFC champions, you know, coming from that, and MVPs and Hall of Fame players that get there. I think it's the best weekend of any weekend in the NFL is the divisional round.
It's hard to argue. Championship weekend is that one day is pretty dramatic with a doubleheader of sort of the right to go to the Super Bowl. But I'm with you. I thought the Manning class was great. I don't know how I loved the three nights. At first I was like, all right, let's see how this works. And then I was like really excited about the game. And I was like, honey, no, there's another playoff game tonight. We've got to watch football tonight. And then there was like nothing worth watching in the game. So we're watching like Goliath on Amazon pretty quickly. So this weekend, here's the other thing. Isn't it seven out of eight division champions? I mean, we had one upset, and everyone was the division champion. So along the lines of Georgia and Alabama, which I know didn't draw the biggest number that people were anticipating, but those are the two most deserving teams. Like, it's hard to look at the NFL, which a lot of times has upsets and wild cards and dramatic runs and unexpectedness in the playoffs, which is what makes the NFL great because everyone is so balanced and even. It's hard to argue that these aren't at least the seven of the eight best teams, and it's hard to argue that the Niners weren't playing as well as anybody in all of football, which if you're a Packers shareholder like myself, you're probably very concerned about playing the San Francisco 49ers. So I think all eight teams are deserving. I think you could easily argue that the eight best teams in pro football. And if you told me any one of them won this weekend, I don't think I would be – there's not a single game that I would be surprised about an outcome at all in any of these four games.
I'm with you on that, and maybe you can argue eight of the top nine teams. If you want to say Dallas moves in at number eight and they got upset at home, that's fine, but I'm with you. These are all worthy teams, and there's not some crazy run that, wow, this team is a Cinderella-type team playing in the divisional round. No, I think all four teams in the AFC, I think all four teams in the NFC could be in L.A. playing for the Super Bowl. Just a matter of who ends up finding a way to win over the next 120 minutes of football to be able to win their conference.
What's weird is Cincinnati, who I think has a really good chance to win this weekend, I think is going to play a really good game against Tennessee, might be the best, maybe the most explosive offensive collection of weapons, quarterback, receivers, running backs, tight ends. Like if you take just that group of players, and that includes Rodgers and Brady and Mahomes and the Chiefs, like it's as explosive as the Chiefs from a talent and athleticism and skill and speed standpoint. I would be surprised if the Bengals were capable of getting to the Super Bowl because of their defensive problems. The defensive line is banged up. I think Buffalo and Kansas City are both Super Bowl championship caliber teams. I think the Titans are a Super Bowl championship caliber team. I think obviously the Bucks are. The Niners, how deep of a run can they go on? They are an imperfect team. So I think it would be surprising to see either Cincinnati or San Francisco, a couple of those 80 Super Bowl rematches there. I think it would be surprising to see those two. But otherwise, I had the Rams winning the Super Bowl back in March and April. I'm with you on any of the top three in the AFC. Like, it's pretty wide open, I think, this weekend. I think winning two games if you're Cincinnati or winning two games if you're San Francisco would be hard to sort of pinpoint. But after that, those two, I mean, to your point, I think the other six are 100% capable of winning back-to-back games. And a lot of those teams would have to go on the road and win in the AFC Championship or the NFC Championship.
unlike in previous years, and I'd have to go back and look at every single playoffs that has taken place, you know, recently or however long back I would want to go. But, you know, last year, for instance, Cleveland was playing in the divisional round against the Chiefs. They weren't going to win two games there. I didn't see a path. I didn't see a game, you know, script to where, wow, Cleveland is in Tampa. Cincy, I do. Would I be surprised? Yeah, I guess because I'm with you. Their defense is suspect and lackluster, and they've got some injuries. But I think there's a path in if Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Uzama, if those guys get hot and the defense does enough, you make a play here or there, you get a turnover, the ball bounces your way, and that offense plays like that. Yeah, I can see a script to where the Bengals, because they beat the Chiefs already, you know, I think they can certainly go into Nashville and win that game. And I think there's an element of the Bengals are going to be dogs in you know, they're a dog this weekend. And if they win, they're certainly going to be an underdog next weekend. I wonder with Zach Taylor and that offense of, okay, enough, you know, messing around with Mixon. Because I think handing the ball off to Mixon kept the Raiders in the game. I mean, they gave him the ball. He's a really good running back, and the offense has been good with Mixon. But 17 carries, he averaged less than three, and Burrow dropping back was almost 8 yards per drop back, and he was on fire. To me, if Zach Taylor goes into a game and just says, "Bleep it, you know, let's see what we got. Let's put the ball in Burrow and Chase and these guys' hands, and let's sling it around the field and see if we can score 40 and maybe win a game." They're dangerous from that standpoint.
Yeah, and that's you're absolutely right. That's what they want to do. But when you have outside of Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon is the most productive running back in the playoffs right now. So, like, I understand, and honestly, I understand being conservative against a Raiders team where you sort of had a double-digit lead the entire game. Like, you sort of felt like that felt like a conservative sort of just manage the moment, manage the game kind of situation. Did they expect to get into a final possession, have to stop in the red zone? Probably not. But I never really felt like Oakland. I never really felt like Las Vegas had a chance to win that game. And Burrow was very like here's how they're doing it. Because my issue with Cincinnati getting to the Super Bowl is they're not protecting the quarterback. Like he's been sacked 51 times. That's more than anybody else. And so if you're not going to play a lot of defense and you can't protect the quarterback, that's where when you look at Buffalo, when you look at how Kansas City's playing defense, and especially with the Titans front four, which is the best defensive line in the National Football League, get pressure in the quarterback without having to blitz. If you don't have to blitz Cincinnati and you can pressure Joe Burrow, like, I'm sorry, you don't have to, like, you can drop seven into coverage and play anything you want at that point over with all those guys. And so I do think that's a concern. That's probably why with Max Crosby and some of those other pieces for the Raiders, where you go, all right, let's be conservative here. We're up 23-13. Let's just kind of see what we've got, and let's win our first playoff game in 31 years. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's how that decision felt to me. They're going to have to do something differently against Tennessee this weekend if they want to win. They're going to have to sling it around. They're going to have to do what you're talking about, because the Titans will get pressure on you. Kansas City knows all about this. The Titans will get pressure on you and disrupt you and hit your quarterback with just four dudes. They don't need any more than that. They're also going to turn around and run the football between the tackles right down your throat. And Cincinnati's missing their top defensive lineman is out. They still have DJ Reader, but they lost two other guys to injury. We're not sure if they're coming back this weekend. Statistically, they were good against the run, top five, but a lot of that was against sort of lower level teams that don't really want to run the football, and Cincinnati had big leads. Let's be honest, the Cincinnati team, like, that AFC North was a complete crapshoot just like 5 weeks ago. They have not turned the ball over in five consecutive games. And so that's where you can see Zach Taylor's conservative game plan. Like, if we rely a little bit more on Mixon, we're not going to pull away and blow people out, get into shootouts, but we can protect the football and we can keep Joe Burrow standing on his feet. Those are two things you kind of have to do this weekend if you want to win, or next weekend if they do win.
Yeah.
And they're playing in Kansas City or in Buffalo, they're going to have to do those things again next week. So maybe that's where he thought this is the right game plan against the Raiders. It's going to be like, I'm with you on never counting Burrow out. It's good. Like, those dudes that he's got around them are ridiculous, and it's going to be fun to watch. I just think the Titans are built for this type of situation physically, from an attitude standpoint. I think Cincinnati's like one more draft class away, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I'm picking the Titans to win. I think it's going to be Titans, Chiefs, and Nashville for the AFC Championship game. But when the Chiefs were getting ready for the Bengals, we went to Cincinnati and talked with Mo Egger there, who does a great job in Cincinnati. And his point was, and I asked him, like, you know, the Chiefs have been the best in the league in the first quarter, and the Bengals are terrible in the first quarter. Like, they're getting outscored, yet second and third quarter, the Bengals are amazing. Like, they're awesome. They're one of the best teams offensively. What's the deal? And he said, if this team doesn't turn the ball over, they're tough to stop offensively. Like, he's like, I don't know a defense that would slow or that would stop this offense if they just stop turning the ball over. Like, oh, okay, and then they go into the Chiefs game and they don't turn it over. And they put up all the points and they win that game. And you're right, it's been five games since they turned the ball over, and here they are in the divisional round, winning the winning the division, getting a home game, snapping the 31-year drought of not winning a playoff game. And yeah, if they cannot turn the ball over, they're going to be in the game against Tennessee this weekend, and they'll be in the game next weekend if they find a way to beat the Titans. But it'll take more than just not turning the ball over. It'll take some defensive plays here, they are getting off the field, and it'll take Burrow being protected better than what he has been, especially against that really good D-line. You're right, that D-line is scary for any team that's getting ready to go up against them with any of the other seven teams remaining.
Well, and a couple of things. The Titans are also I want to say they've turned the ball over 16 times in their five losses, and they've only taken the ball away twice. So, like, every coach kind of, like, goes into a press conference and harps on, well, when you lose the turnover battle 3-0 or 4-0 or 5-0, it's hard to win games. Like, it's just a fact. Like, in the NFL, if you win the turnover battle +2, +3, the statistical chances of winning a game or losing a game are just off the chart. So, like, yes, the Titans, when they turn the ball over, because, again, they went into – Cincinnati last year when Cincinnati was not good, and Cincinnati beat them pretty handily last year when the Titans were good and the Cincinnati Bengals were not. There was no mixing and no chase in that game, and they still won fairly easily. So it's because the Titans turned the ball over. So the Titans, it's all about protecting the football. I'm willing to bet you it's kind of that way for every single team in NFL football. The other thing is, and this will be interesting to watch, just having been in Nashville for, you know, almost 30 years, they've never hosted an AFC Championship game in this city. But if they're going to announce the offense, it's widely rumored that they're going to announce the offense before the game and that Derrick Henry will be announced as the starting running back. Whether he's just Willis Reading or actually playing in the game and how many carries he gets, we're not sure about that yet. Those under the age of 30, that's a basketball player for the Knicks in the 70s who played on a broken leg. But if he does that, I'm willing to bet you that the emotions, and I don't normally get this way with NFL football, it's very much a college thing. Like, the emotion of the moment can have a big impact on the game, but normally that's a college thing. If Derrick Henry comes out of the tunnel, is announced as the starting tailback for the Tennessee Titans, the entire city of Nashville is going to explode. And so I don't know how Cincinnati, like, there's a lot of reasons that Cincinnati can be in the game, they can win the game. Just like you can look at Buffalo and Kansas City and make a great case for both sides. I can look at the Niners and look and say this is how they're going to go into Green Bay and control the clock and run the football with that fun offense. And, like, I can make a case for everybody. There's the one game where I just go, I don't know if you can beat a crowd like that when Derrick Henry has been missing for 2.5 months, the way they love him and the way he is the biggest star athlete in this town. I would not want to be a Cincinnati Bengals middle linebacker at that point if that's what's going to happen. I don't know how many carries he's going to get. How they're going to, you know, give him a little lather this week to get him ready for next week if they were to win. I don't know what that plan is yet. Mike Vrabel has not told us, but there is a pretty heavy momentum towards him being announced as a starting tailback coming out of the tunnel, and that will be a massive emotional boost to that entire franchise.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the emotional boost and the crowd being in it, you mentioned by introducing Derrick Henry. I wonder what that also does for the team. That, all right, now, Derrick, we're entering the playoffs. Yeah. We're the number one seed. We've got a home game the next 2 weeks if we take care of business, and we're getting Derrick Henry back. Like, that sort of even just between the ears of what that may do confidence-wise for a Titans team that a lot of people are, dismissing and not feeling like they are going to be in L.A. as the number one seed, that they're not going to win the next 2 weeks. And we'll see if that actually happens. But I can imagine what that may do for the entire franchise. You talk about that, the organization, the team, the guys on the field, when they go, yeah, but we got Derrick Henry back and we're the one seed.
Well, and they play with their offensive line, starting offensive line, two times the entire season. It was the last 2 weeks. They have not had – they've missed Julio Jones 8 or 9 games. They missed A.J. Brown for 4 games. They're both back healthy. Like, they're actually healthier than they've ever been. They had a bye week in week 13 and then another bye last week. Like, they are situated, and I think they're built from a very, like, 1980s Mike Ditka Bears type of philosophy. Like, I've been around Mike Vrabel enough to know that there's a lot of fake tough guys in the NFL, and then there's a lot of, like, genuinely tough guys in the NFL, and Mike Vrabel is not fake tough. Like, that dude is legit, and I think that's why they have such an amazing culture from front office all the way down until the last player. It's why they've been the one seed with 92 dudes. And I say this completely objectively as a fan of my favorite team who lives in this market. If Green Bay and the Titans play in the Super Bowl, as a fan of one team and a guy who covers the other team, there is no question in my mind that the Tennessee Titans win that football game. Like, I just, even as a fan of the other team, there's no, like, if they get to the Super Bowl and Derrick Henry is healthy and that defensive line is pressuring the quarterback, they have the formula. They've got the formula. It doesn't mean they're going to win. Doesn't mean they're going to get there. I'm not even necessarily picking that. No disrespect, but I really like Buffalo. This Titans team has, it just sort of checks every single box of teams that are very, very difficult to stop in January. And so, again, like you said to start, I cannot wait for this weekend. I think it'll be the best weekend of football. I hope the games are way better than last weekend. I think they will be. And I think we're in for, you know, buckle up for like eight straight hours of ball on Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a blast.
Cannot wait. Braden Gall is our guest here in the zone. How good is the you mentioned the D-line, and obviously it's phenomenal for the Titans. How good is the defense, the other seven guys, linebackers, secondary, outside of that front four, which can do so much to make that team as good as they are defensively? But how good is that defense after you get past that front four, first level?
They've got high-level dudes, man. And again, what makes Vrabel so good is that he coaches everybody. Like, he'll coach the long snapper as much as he coaches, like, the outside linebacker, which is, of course, the position he played. But they've got such versatility at the linebacker core. They're a little undersized there, but they're super versatile. And adding Zach Cunningham, who led the NFL in tackles last year in, like, week 14, is almost not fair for a Mike Vrabel coach team. He has shown the flashes of the former player. You've got David Long and Jayon Brown here, both very undersized, but extremely fast, great in coverage. You've got Kevin Byard, who's an all-pro at safety. Christian Fulton, who was their number two draft pick last year, did not play much at all, who's turned into a pure cover, lockdown, outside, you know, number one corner. He's the guy who's going to be charged with probably chasing Jamar Chase around all game long. You know, their other safety, Imani Hooker, is just sort of a guy who just sort of is constantly in the right place at the right time. And this is sort of what I would describe as Mike Vrabel's sort of identity and philosophy on defense. They're never out of position. They're like, Elijah Molden's a perfect example. He plays in the slot. He's a rookie third round pick. Incredible tacklers. These guys are incredible tacklers. Like, they're just sort of football players. And their front line is where all the big money is, to your point. Like, DeNico Autry, $8 million free agent. Bud Dupree, huge free agent. Harold Landry, high draft pick. Jeffrey Simmons, first-round draft pick. Like, that's where their investment is. But the other guys are all ball players, dude. They don't miss tackles in space. They don't miss assignments. They may not be the best, but they are right where they're supposed to be. And if you've got a front four that's getting pressure on the quarterback, you can do a whole lot of stuff. You can be super creative with how you bracket Jamar Chase, how you cover trips to the side. Like, you can be so creative if you can drop seven into coverage. Man, zone, doesn't matter. And if they can do that, that's where they've been good. That's how they beat Kansas City in Nashville. That's how they eventually stopped Buffalo. Like, Josh Allen threw the football all over them on Monday night in that game. But because he was getting pressured by – like, eventually they were just dropping guys into coverage, and eventually they got a stop at the end. So it's a really good team, man. They're not going to get much hype, and I don't think they can win in a shootout with Ryan Tannehill if you're asking them to throw the football 50 times a game. I think that's where you – if you're Kansas City or Buffalo or even Cincinnati, you're probably trying to make it that type of game. But if you want to play down in the mud with them, that's what they want, man. And they want you to play 23-17, because if you play like that, they're probably beating the tar out of you by the fourth quarter.
Braden Gall's our guest. I'm on board as saying that I don't think there's much fear of the Titans, or I should say, if there was going to be a one seed that the Chiefs did not get, if we're looking at from the perspective of covering this team in this town, if there was a one seed that was ahead of the Chiefs, if they were the two, I'd prefer it being the Titans as opposed to, you know, the Bills or at one point the Ravens if they weren't as banged up as they were and with Lamar Jackson and the Chargers, you know, things like that. Because obviously if the Chargers were the one, the Chiefs wouldn't have even won the division. So it's not to say that Tennessee sucks because they beat the Chiefs by 24, you know, when they actually played earlier this year. But they are underrated or overlooked, maybe is a way to look at it, overlooked by a lot of people across the country and analysts as well for the AFC. It seems like it's Chiefs and Bills, and I believe the winner of the Chiefs and Bills game will be in L.A. and represent the AFC. But what's the feeling around there entering the playoffs when it seems like the one seed in the NFC is talked about of winning the Super Bowl and the one seed in the AFC is talked about, do they lose in the divisional round or the AFC championship game?
Oh, man, it's the most loaded and fantastic question I've gotten in a long time because I agree with you. I mean, there's a reason the betting favorite in the AFC was Kansas City. Like, I don't disagree with that. But there is a very strange thing that happened. Like, Titans fans, I've never been around a fan base that is more sensitive and overtly searching grievance from the national media than the Titans fans do. I think it comes from the fact that they're a very young fan base in a very small market, relatively speaking. Like, there's just you cannot just fabricate 110 years of tradition and history and TV ratings to like make television executives want to put you on national TV or make talking heads discuss your favorite players, especially when you don't have a superstar quarterback. Like, it's just they just take sort of offense to everything. And I, frankly, Mike Vrabel and the Titans locker room, they like it that way. But the fans are just like, they just are, to your point about being sort of overlooked or whatever, like the fans are keenly and acutely aware that they are not discussed or appreciated or whatever term you want to use amongst the quote unquote national media, which I just think is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I think it's just stupid because those types of decisions aren't made based on football. Those types of decisions are made based on television. And those are two very different sciences. I think good, smart football people know how good this Titans team is. It doesn't mean I'm picking them to beat Kansas City or Buffalo if that game happens next weekend. Do I think they're going to be the same as the regular season outcomes? Absolutely not. Like, I need to see how these two games play out. But I do think they're undervalued, and I think it's a lot of it has to do with the quarterback. They don't have a big brand, they don't have a large fan base, and they don't have the quarterback who's the star. Because if they – that's the area of concern that I think Titans fans, in the back of their minds, they won't admit it, but in the backs of their minds, if they know that it's going to get into a – you know, back and forth, possession for possession shootout with Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, can Ryan Tannehill keep up? I think he can lead a game-winning drive. I think he might be able to lead two game-winning drives. But if you're asking him to go score for score for score for score, which is what they asked him to do last year, and everybody was super confident coming into the Baltimore game last year, they got beat because the defense took away Derrick Henry, shut the game down, and forced Ryan Tannehill to make plays, and he couldn't do it. So I think that there's still some concern there with the quarterback. He's turned the ball over a ton this year. He's been sacked a ton this year. He's also been mobile and been good in the fourth quarter like he's been since he got to Tennessee. But I think that is the area of concern. Can Ryan Tannehill, the way you watch Mahomes and Brady and Allen and Rodgers, where these guys are maestros, like they are conducting an orchestra pre-snap, and that is not what Ryan Tannehill does. And that's the one area that you go, man, I don't – if you need four touchdowns in the second half from Ryan Tannehill, that's where I go, I don't know, man. That's you're asking too much of a player to play outside of the confines of the offense. So I think that's probably where the undervalue comes in. At the same time, they play an ugly brand of football. They're not a big fan base. It's a small market. There's a lot of reasons why TV, quote-unquote Vegas, quote-unquote, doesn't pay as much attention to the Titans. Titans fans, though, are very upset about that, and I don't think they should be. I think they need to get over it and understand that they've only been around for 25 years.
Braden Gall is our guest. Would Vrabel still cut off his junk to win the Super Bowl this year? Would he actually do that?
You know what? Like, ask me that in three games. because if he's got the ring, I'm willing to bet you the very – like, someone is going to ask him that in the press conference. If they win the Super Bowl, someone is going to ask him in the press conference, like, well, like, is that off the table now or what? Or is it on the table? Like, which one is it?
And well, it might be on the table if he lives up to it.
I guarantee somebody asked that question, and he's like, I guarantee he backs out of that immediately.
Well, yes, of course. I guarantee he does, too.
already got one. Yeah, I'm good.
I guarantee he does too. But if somebody right now set the, you know, the devil comes to him and says, "All right, here's your choice. Here's a ring and here's that." What are you choosing? I don't know. I still don't believe him. It's not to the level like in 2013. Rick Pitino told his team, "If you win the championship, I'll get a tattoo on my back."
That's different. Very different.
And they won, and he got a tattoo. That's different than
Very, although Rick, very different.
Although Rick may have been better off taking the route of Vrabel. That might have been a career for him.
I will say this about the Vrabel thing. Like, I think if he didn't have three rings, I would take him very seriously.
Yeah,
because, like, again, this is not a fake. This is not a fake tough guy. He's not a fake. He's like, this is a guy. I've seen him at practice, like, put on a pad, a blocking pad, and, like, run into Jeffrey Simmons. And if you've ever, like, Jeffrey Simmons is one of the largest human beings I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been covering football a long time. And Vrabel is still the exact same player he was. And because he got three rings as a player, I don't believe him. If he didn't have any rings as a player, I would definitely believe him.
Yeah, I know. We'll see what happens. And you know what? If they lose on Saturday and it's about 6:30 or 7 o'clock Central Time, if he's asked then, I think he may actually make the decision. I think he may actually go a different route. Like, you know what? Yes, do it right now. All right, happens this week?
Live stream it. Everything is content. Everything is content.
That's right. What happens this weekend? Titans, Bengals, and then Bills, Chiefs. What do you think? Who do you think is playing for the AFC Championship game?
I think, you know, Cincinnati is going to give them a lot of trouble. They're going to scare them, but I don't think Cincinnati's there yet. I think the Bengals, like I said, I think the Bengals are one collection of players left, especially on defense. I think the physicality, the identity, the way this team prepares, it's sort of like Saban in that he removes the human element. The players play super hard for each other. Derrick Henry comes out of that tunnel. I think all bets are off. I think the Titans win. I think it's a close game, though. So I think the Titans will win. I honestly have no clue about the other game because Buffalo, they look so good and have been. It's one of those teams that even when they were seventh in the playoff standings and they were sitting there at, like, I don't remember what their record was, like 7-6 or something, I was looking at them going, there's no chance they're going to finish there. This team is too good. And then you watch them do whatever they wanted to on offense. And it's not like Kansas City wasn't any better. Like, they were just as good. I just think Pittsburgh is awful.
Agreed.
I think that was a little bit of false, you know, sort of, you know, it's not like Kansas City. I don't need to sell Kansas City. Like, the team is unbelievable. The quarterback is a Super Bowl champ and an MVP. You got one of the best offensive minds in all of football. So I honestly have no clue. I really have liked this Buffalo team all season, and I'm trying not to let that shade what I think is going to happen. But then I watched what they did to a Belichick defense, and I just said, like, they ran with Josh Allen, designed run plays on the first drive, and after that, the Patriots were done. And it's like they had no way to anticipate. They were in conflict on every down on defense, and that's what Josh Allen does to you. And I think it's going to be a great game. I love that the number's low, that Vegas agrees. I think Kansas City's the better team. They're at home. You know, smart money says Kansas City wins. But there's something about this Buffalo team that's pretty darn good. I don't have a feel for that one. I have a pretty good – I think Tampa's going to win. I think the Niners are going to play extremely well. I think the Titans are going to play pretty well. I think both Kansas City and Buffalo are going to play pretty well, and I don't have a clue who's going to win that one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fascinating game. I cannot wait for that thing to happen. Braden Gall, 440 Podcast, Athlon Sports, ESPN Radio, Cover 2, and Fringe Element Podcast here in the zone with us. Braden, you're the man as always. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week, bud.
Absolutely. Thank goodness it's in prime time on Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's right. Braden Gall with us here is breaking down the Titans, the playoffs, the matchup in the divisional round with Titans and Bengals. And, yeah, their defense is stout, no doubt about that. The front four is phenomenal. And they've got some players behind them as well, as he was talking about. And Derrick Henry coming back has to be that emotional boost for that team. But what it comes down to with a lot of people that are counting the Titans out, it's because of the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Like, can they make the Super Bowl? Certainly, but it feels like the 2019 49ers, and they make the Super Bowl because of the running game and the defense and then the quarterback doing enough, but they get into the Super Bowl against a premier quarterback and they don't win that one because the premier quarterback makes the plays and the lesser-than quarterback does not. But can they have a game script that goes their way back-to-back weeks to be able to overcome the fact that the quarterback for the Titans will be the lesser of the quarterbacks on the field the rest of the way unless they play the 49ers in the Super Bowl? So they're going to have the worst quarterback in that game. Burrow's better than Tannehill. Allen and Patrick Mahomes are better than Tannehill as well. Can they overcome that in game script, or is there a game over the next couple of weeks where they have to put it in Tannehill's hands and say, you got to lead this offense a couple of drives, go and make plays and score, or we're done? Don't think Tannehill can do that. And I think Burrow can. I certainly have, we've seen Patrick Mahomes, so we know he can do it. I think Josh Allen can do it. I don't think Tannehill can. We'll see. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. We got a Main Street Countdown coming up on the other side. Todd Lebo in the 1 o'clock hour. Fact or Fiction. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Hey, Clyde. How's it going?
Uh-oh, you cut out a little on us there, Michelle. Can you try again?
Can you guys hear me?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thank you to Braden Gall. We'll talk with Todd Lebo coming up at the 1 o'clock hour. We got Fact or Fiction with Todd Lebo. Right now, time for a MainStreetPreOwned.com countdown. MainStreetPreOwned.com, if you want a used car, truck, or SUV that comes with dealer cash rebates up to $2,000, MainStreetPreOwned.com. Inventory at MainStreetPreOwned.com is constantly changing. Every 15 days, it all has to go. They are restocking it with more and more. MainStreetPreOwned.com. You check today, might not see a car you want. Check tomorrow, it can be there, and in 15 days, it's all going to be turned over because that's what they do. They are constantly restocking their inventory so you can find the car that you were looking for. Make sure you're going daily. If you're looking for that used car, truck, SUV, all makes, all models, 500 vehicles to choose from, make sure you're going to MainStreetPreOwned.com to see what they have today, what they have tomorrow, and so on and so on. As we go through our countdown, we are looking at the best moments from the divisional round since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback. First up today in the divisional round against the Texans, Chiefs trailed 24-0. I remember that. They had just scored to make it 24-7. That was that quick pass to Damian Williams when he apparently his hip caught the football. That was pretty awesome. So they made it 24-7. They were looking for a stop. The Texans lined up to punt on 4th and 4 from their own 31-yard line. And, of course, he might be directed the ire of Chiefs fans, but we know what happened next in that game on 4th and 4.
They snap it to Reed, and he is stopped by Sorensen. They snap it to the up back, and Reed is denied.
Houston with a great call, I think. Sorensen has to make an open field tackle with the whole side of the field. Watch, Reed's one-on-one with the whole field, and you just have to make a little move. And I tell you, Sorensen with a great tackle and giving his team great field position. And how quickly this is starting to shift, Jim. I know you thought it was over, but I told you, this team is explosive.
Don't put those words in my mouth.
That was a little bit of a Corey with, hey, I know you said it was over, but because Jim Nance did not ever say that it was over. But listening back to that, I'm reminded of, you know, the Chiefs scored 7 points. I mean, they were still down 17.
Mm-hmm.
And before the punt, the crowd, as much as they were into it, as, you know, hyped was still going on. And, of course, after the fake punt and Sorensen making the play, it was even crazier, and the Chiefs go and score, and then it was like, all right, here we go. This is a game.
Open the floodgates.
But they had just scored a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah, they had just scored a touchdown. It was 24-7, and yet still into it like it was the first possession.
It was so funny. And we talked about this a lot when it happened, but the feeling of Bill O'Brien was the coach at that time, right? So the feeling of Bill O'Brien that we can't let them get any momentum. You had a 17-point lead on your own 31-yard line, and you felt the need to pull a fake punt because you didn't want to go 3 and out and give the ball right back to Mahomes when they had just come down and scored on the previous possession. It was like the Chiefs were in his head, and from that point, the floodgates just opened.
Yeah, they go and score, make it 24-14. They get a fumble on the kickoff return, and Darwin Thompson was running on Tulsa time.
Yep.
On that play. So he might have been running in the game against the Steelers. He's back with the Chiefs on the practice squad, so depending on health, who knows? Maybe Darwin Thompson makes another appearance in one of these games. Hopefully there are multiple games left for the Chiefs because they've got a big one coming up in the divisional round against the Buffalo Bills. 2.5-point favorites are the Chiefs, just as they were previous go-around. That Sunday night football game, Chiefs were 2.5-point favorites over the Bills. It did not go the Chiefs' way. We know that. But since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback, the divisional round games have all gone the Chiefs' way. Colts and Texans and Browns. And now the Bills. So we'll see what Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense and this entire team looks like, because especially the defense. If the Chiefs win against the Bills on Sunday, the defense is going to have a lot to say about that as well. MainStreetPreOwned.com can have a lot to say about whether or not you're going to get a quality used car, truck, or SUV. If you're looking for one, MainStreetPreOwned.com. I've got your answer. It is MainStreetPreOwned.com. All makes, all models, over 500 used vehicles to choose from, all with dealer cash rebates up to $2,000. That is MainStreetPreOwned.com. We take a timeout. We come back. A cool story and an interesting dilemma. We know the answer and we know what happened last night in the game, but there was a crazy bet that was made before the first round of the playoffs started. We'll tell you that and then what this particular person did last night before the Rams game. We'll do that on the other side of the break. It is The Zone on a Tuesday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Todd Lebo coming up at 1 o'clock. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
It would have been a... just killed a spider that was crawling on the table here. Take that, spider. Huh? Yeah! In your face! Punk!
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's The Zone. Jason Anderson, Corey Anderson, and Beards. We'll hang out with Todd Lebo for the final hour of the show here on 810. One more segment here in the noon hour. I had said when we went to break, the parlay, the bet that was made in Vegas before the wild card, super wild card weekend started. There was a guy. Did you see this by any chance, Corey or Beards?
I have not, and I didn't look it up when you teased it because awesome. I thought I would just wait to hear it on the air so I get a visceral reaction.
Yes. Cool. It wasn't a teaser. It was a parlay. So
okay.
I know that
gotcha.
Those things can be confusing. So gotcha. It was a parlay. So he put $100 down on a six-way parlay on each game. So each game, it was an anytime touchdown for a player in that game. The anytime touchdowns that he, and that six-way parlay, by the way, paid out $27,000 on his $100 ticket. He had C.J. Uzama anytime touchdown in the Bengals-Raiders game. He had Gabriel Davis anytime touchdown in the Bills and Pats. He had Gronk anytime touchdown in Bucks-Eagles. He had Debo Samuel anytime touchdown in 49ers and Cowboys. He had Travis Kelce anytime touchdown in Chiefs and Steelers. And the final one was Cooper Kupp, anytime touchdown in the Rams and Cardinals game. We know what happened last night in the Rams and Cardinals game, that Cooper Kupp scored a touchdown. You're sitting there during the day yesterday. You are 5 for 5 on your six-way parlay. You need Cooper Kupp to score a touchdown for $27,000. Do you just simply go into the game and say, bleep it? Do you hedge? What do you do? You're sitting there yesterday. You got $27,000 on the line. What are you just going to take the whole thing, or are you going to hedge and say, I'm coming out with five figures of some sort here?
Well, tell me how you hedge that. Is somebody offering up Cooper Kupp doesn't catch a touchdown?
Well, I mean, if you went opposite of anytime touchdown that Cooper Kupp, does not score in the game.
Yeah, if somebody's offering that, I don't know if there's an offer of, Cooper Kupp doesn't score a touchdown and what the odds on that would be. I am of the opinion that I would always hedge something if there is a guarantee that I would be able to get some of my money back. But I don't know that anybody offers Cooper Kupp not to catch a touchdown. Do you know if they do? I've never seen that bet.
Here was the decision this guy was faced with. Yesterday during the day, he was offered $12,000 for his ticket.
Oh, no, I wouldn't take that.
He was offered $12,000 for his ticket. Somebody was going to pay him 12 grand to then sell that ticket to them. He walks away, $100 bet, he walks away with 12 grand instead of hoping that Cooper Kupp gets a touchdown or you lose everything.
Oh, I know what you would do. You would take that $12,000 and run to the bank.
100%. Beards, what do you do?
I'd probably take the $12,000 at that point.
Corey?
Not a chance.
You're not taking the $12,000?
Hell no. I'm going for it, man.
I'm not a degenerate gambler.
Well, see, I wouldn't put $100 on a six-way parlay anyway.
Like, no.
That's crazy, especially one that the odds are going to pay you $27,000 because Uzama, Gabriel Davis, you know, had to score in the first two games. Like, you know, the odds of them scoring. Cooper Kupp, by the way, anytime touchdown just on his own was minus 170.
Yeah, this wasn't C.J. Uzama you had left or Gabriel Davis.
Right.
I'm considering, and the guy's not offering $12,000. If that's the case, if I had C.J. Uzama or Gabriel Davis, the first two that hit for him, and one of those two was my last, I would probably sell that ticket for $8,000. But I would like my chances with Cooper Kupp, and to me, the action is the juice, as they say in Heat, and I love that action. I would have loved to have that 27K on the line and instead of just 12 in my pocket.
He sold it for $12,000.
Oh, sucker!
He sold the ticket for $12,000. So somebody who clearly has a higher risk tolerance than him paid $12,000 for the chance to win $27,000 or for a chance to win $27,000 total.
Or just somebody with more money.
Yes, for sure. So you win $15,000 on a $12,000 bet.
Somebody with a big old sack, right? I mean,
you've
got to have big cojones to throw $12,000 on Cooper Kupp to catch a touchdown. Now, I don't know the financial circumstances of said person, but it might not be somebody that's, some multimillionaire. It could just be somebody that loves those odds and plays the odds.
Right.
And they come up and they say, you know what? That's worth it for me.
Because if Cooper Kupp sprains an ankle in the first quarter,
like
if he plays all four quarters, I like my chances of Kupp scoring because it's just what he does. I mean, he's a touchdown.
He didn't have a typical Cooper Kupp game, though. They didn't need it. So didn't
Stafford
his come in the third quarter?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Stafford,
so
it was one of those plays to Cooper Kupp. All right, we're going to get this. We're going to get Cooper Kupp a touchdown, and we're going to get somebody $27,000, I guess. Maybe it was Cooper Kupp's brother. I'm not sure.
Two people made out well on that instead of one. It
would
have just been one guy getting $27,000. Instead, one guy got 12 and another guy got 15. So there you go.
Yep. And so here's where it may not be, like you said, a millionaire. It may just be somebody that loves the numbers and says, you know what, I'm playing the odds here. Because Cooper Kupp anytime touchdown was minus 170. If you pay this man $12,000 for his ticket and your payout is 27 total, that turns Cooper Kupp anytime touchdown into plus 125.
Yeah.
So
assuming it hits.
assuming it hits. But you went from minus 170 on a $100 bet to plus 125 with $12,000 on the line. So if you're in Vegas, if you're somebody like that and you're going, it may not be to where I can just brush off $12,000. It's going to hurt. But I'm not going to get plus 125 on Cooper Kupp scoring an anytime touchdown, any point left. That's as good a value as you're going to get anywhere, and it's only because this guy hit five of the first six legs of the parlay and was trying to just simply say, I'm getting out. Who wants to – I don't know how he hooks up with this person, how he got the $12,000, but that's what happened yesterday. The man buys places a bet, $100 on a six-way parlay. Uzama, Gabriel Davis, Gronk, Debo, Kelsey, they all hit and then sells the ticket for $12,000, and then Cooper Kupp scores a touchdown, and that man wins another $15,000 who paid the $12,000.
And good for him. He didn't have to sweat it out because clearly he's a guy that doesn't want that. He wants to just guarantee. He wasn't sweating it out when the first two legs had hit. He's like, oh, cool, that's fun. It's still alive.
Oh, Uzama scored. Okay, cool.
Okay, it's still alive. Okay, Kelsey caught one. Now it's legit. And he would have been stressing out all day.
Oh.
But because somebody texted into the show, and I'm going to take their word for it. I don't I've never made bets on FanDuel, but says you can't hedge that on FanDuel. So there's nobody that offers up Cooper Kupp to not catch a touchdown in a game. Because usually when you want to hedge, you have to be able to get the exact opposite of your bet. And so in that way, you can sell your ticket, which is I've seen like ticketswap.com and some websites like that that handle it. So that guy was never really stressed out about it until Travis Kelce caught his touchdown. It's like, oh,
that's right.
Okay. Now this is real.
When Gabriel Davis catches a touchdown on Saturday night, that man woke up Sunday thinking, I could win 27,000. Those were the two. Gronk scoring without Godwin and Antonio Brown. I mean, Deebo Samuel, he scores all the time. That's their guy. Kelce in the playoffs, he's had three straight 100-yard games.
Yeah, you definitely got like, the hard ones out of the way, the first two.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have taken the 12 grand. I obviously knowing what I know, but I just couldn't have gone into the game and have Cooper Kupp sprain an ankle and me think about I lost $12,000 and what that would have meant. But I am somebody that after taking the 12 grand, after Cooper Kupp scored, I think more about the 15 I didn't have than the 12 I just won.
Exactly.
That
you just cost yourself 15 grand.
Yes, I have no stones. All right, Todd Lebo, who wouldn't even place the $100 bet, he joins us next.